Well, once again, good morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us all, each one, to be here today. There's no one here by accident. Do you know that? You know that you are here because the Holy Spirit called you to be here? You know that? I want you to understand that. I want you to get it deep into your soul that you're here because the Holy Spirit called you to be here. And there's a time coming later in our service where we're going to gather for a time of communion, gathering together at the Lord's table. And when that time comes, again, you won't be here by accident. That time is for everyone here because the Holy Spirit has called us on all, each one, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey with God. He's calling us, inviting us to be part of what's going on here in the church. I'm thankful for a successful annual conference that I was privileged to be a part of last week, and thank you for that time. And I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is I've been reappointed to Scalp Level Trinity for a fourth year of ministry. Hey. And the bad news is I've been appointed to a fourth year of ministry for Scalp Level Trinity. You never know. There's always folks who are very happy and some folks who are like, yeah, I've had enough of this guy. But I'm thankful for that. 4 years is a wonderful opportunity. It'll be a year of change, I know, for a lot of things going on here in this church. New secretary that will be bringing in and new ministries and new opportunities to worship God, new ways that we can come together and do ministry together. So I'm looking forward to and also curious about how God will use this year to bring about great things in the life of this church. So thankful for the bishop and the cabinet for that. New superintendent, I got to meet him briefly, but I'm looking forward to getting to know him and seeing the gifts that God's given to him that will benefit our district. Thankful for the speaker last week who was here to share about how the Word of God is always active and at work, even in that little desk drawer in a hotel, that when that Word is brought out and opened and read, that the lives that are transformed simply because the Word of God is always inspired and continues to be inspired. And so even if we read it 2,000 years after it was written, the Holy Spirit uses that Word that points to Jesus to change lives. So I'm thankful for him coming up from Uniontown, and I got to hear his message on the playback, and good message, and thankful for the work the Gideons do. And I'm thankful to have my partner in ministry, Mana, and I together again. It's been a while, but I'm thankful for you and the ministry you bring to the and always giving thanks for the work that God does through you. And we're missing Brett. But I'm thankful for him as well and the ministry that together we do. This isn't a one-man show, is it? This is a work that many people are involved in, and you're always invited to deeper participation in the work that Jesus is calling us to do in this place. There is a world around us that needs to know that the church is here and needs to know that there is a church full of people who love them and love each other, and we want to share that with all the world around us. I'm going to invite you this morning to come with me into Scripture, into the Gospel of Mark, and out of reverence for that word, whether in body or in spirit, I invite you to show reverence to that as we come together in this time today. Mark, chapter 1, verse 35 through 45. Listen for God speaking to you through this word today. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go someplace else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing. Jesus said, "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell anyone about this, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the lonely places. Yet the people still came from everywhere to see him. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear this word with fresh ears, that we might experience it anew through the power of that Holy Spirit. And God, take this time. It is yours. Use it for your glory and your glory only. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody here an introvert? Nobody raised their hands. You're all extroverts. Or you're wondering maybe what that word is. There are some people who need to have people around them to be energized, to have people around them and they gain energy the more time they spend around people. That's an extrovert. That's someone who the larger the crowd, the better, you know? And there are some people for whom the best way to gain their energy is to spend time in solitude, to spend time away from people, to spend time, if you could, you'd be under a rock where no one could find you, where you could spend time to regain your energy, and after that, you're able to go and deal with people again. Anybody, does that make better sense now what an introvert or extrovert is? Yeah. You probably will be surprised to know that I'm an extrovert, that I love a crowd, I love to be around people, I love to spend time, you know, communicating, and the more the better. That's my way of doing things. But even me, if I go to a place where there's lots of people, even I need some time afterward to process that, to spend some time to just be by myself and kind of gather myself again. When I went to conference, there are always folks who are willing to carpool, to drive up and to drive back. And conference is a busy time, and it's filled with all sorts of people. And I love it, but at the same time, when that conference is over, I enjoy my quiet trip back home, where I can just have some time to myself that was fun and I enjoyed it, but at the same time, I need some recharge time. I need some me time. I need some time to be by myself, to feel myself again, to reconnect with God, to get away from the big crowd and to just center myself again on what God has in store for my life. Maybe that sounds familiar to you. Maybe you're the same way. Maybe you need time to have to yourself so you can re-energize, so that you can commune with God. This world is geared to always be in your business. How many times does the phone ring in the course of the day? And how many times is it that phone rings and it's some salesman trying to sell you something or annoying you or taking up a portion of your day? Pick up the phone. "Oh, Mr. Sands, we'd like to tell you about this great life insurance policy that we have available to you." "I already have life insurance." You know, hang up the phone. The world is always trying to get into those quiet times. The world is always trying to get into that time you need for yourself. The phone is always going to ring. There's always going to be someone in your life who wants to take some portion of your time and use it. There's a reason we call it spending time. And there's only so much of it that we have, and the way that we use it is valuable to us. It's precious to us because we only get that hour once. We only get that minute once, and then it's gone forever. if you're feeling that way, that you need that time and you feel like the world is crowding in on you and trying to take every last portion of your time, your energy, good news for you. You are not alone. When we encounter Jesus in the scripture, we encounter someone who knows what it's like to have every portion of his time wanting to be co-opted by someone else, wanting the world around him trying to press in on the little time that Jesus knew he had here with us. We can relate to Jesus wanting to just find some time after encountering people, after doing great miracles and signs, to just get away for a while, to go to the quiet place, to spend some time away from the crowds. But it doesn't take long before here comes his disciples, Peter and James and John and Andrew, saying, "The people want to see you. The people are so excited that you're here. They just want you to stay here in this one town forever, do all of the work that they want to have done, do all these miracles, perform all of these signs, and just stay here and do everything for the people forever." And Jesus says, "Let's get out of here. Let's go out to the quiet villages, and let's go into the countryside, away from the city, to begin to do the work that I've been called to do, to get out into the community." But just like that salesman who calls in the midst of your quiet day, wanting to interrupt your wonderful quiet time with concerns, along comes this man with a skin disease called leprosy, to interrupt Jesus as he's going on the way. He can't even travel by himself without people getting into the bus with him to go on the journey. And for this man, this man with leprosy, this is no ordinary disease. This is a disease that causes the nerves in the hands and in the feet, and then up through the skin and the legs and the arms, and even with the body, the head, everything begins to go numb because the nerves are being killed. And so for anybody with a healthy immune system, you feel pain. If you hit your arm or your leg or your foot or your finger off of something, and you know, oh, that needs to be taken care of. Wrap a Band-Aid on it. For a person with leprosy, they didn't know they were injured. And so that wound would continue to fester and grow and rot until maybe they'd lose a finger. Maybe they'd lose a hand or an entire arm or a foot or an entire leg or even portions of their face would be so diseased that they would rot right on their flesh. So there was a smell and there was a factor about them that made people want to turn away. And that disease came to be associated with sin. Because sin, in the same way, will injure us in ways we don't even imagine. And sin will also spread to other people around us. And leprosy, they thought, would spread by contact with others to the people around them. There's a danger in that. There's a danger in associating sin with sickness that Jesus knew all too well. And Jesus was one of the ones who would go to the people who had this disease and lay his hands on them to show that the power of sin and the sickness were two different things. But in that culture, that disease of leprosy became synonymous with sin. And we might look at that and say, oh, that culture, how backward they were that they would associate a disease with a sin. And yet, even in our culture, there are diseases that we associate with sin, that we associate with things that people shouldn't do, and we associate disease with them. We should be careful with that. We should be careful with how we judge others by whatever it is that the condition of their body. That's certainly not the way that Jesus acted. And Jesus was indignant that this man with leprosy would come to him and say, "If you want to, you can make me clean." First of all, Jesus says, "Of course I want to make you clean. Of course I want to heal you of this disease, but I'm trying to get someplace else. I'm trying to get to this next village. I'm trying to do the next thing in my life that I know the Father's calling me to do. And Jesus could have very easily said, I'm a busy man. Leave me alone. I have to go off to the next village. They need me there. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus takes the time with this man and says, of course, I want to make you clean, and you are. But do me a favor. I'm only here for a short time. I can only do so much in this physical human body of mine. And so would you help me out, my brother who I just made well, who I just cured of that sickness, would you not tell anybody that I did that? Because I really do need to have my quiet times. I really do need to have those times away. And so, because of the limitations of my human body, I'm asking you, keep this to yourself so that I can continue to do my work. But what happens? What would happen to you if you had been healed of a disease that was going to kill you, that had separated you from your community, that had made you an outcast in your society? What would you do if someone had come along and healed you? Boy, you'd be telling everybody just like this leper told everybody. And he didn't have the phone, but he'd be calling people up. You ought to see what this guy Jesus did for me. You ought to see what Jesus did. He just healed me of this disease that I had. I was an outcast. And now I'm back in the community because Jesus righted that relationship. He made me healed. I'm welcomed in the community again. And so the word about Jesus spreads to all the people. And so his time becomes consumed by people coming to him and asking him for healings, which of course he did, but he didn't have time for himself. And so when Jesus ascends into heaven, he sends to us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not confined to a single body, a single person. The Holy Spirit is able to do the work of Jesus through everyone who asks all around the world. That is the great gift that we have through the Holy Spirit. That none of us need to go to a faraway place and tug on Jesus' cape or tug on his suit from far away, tug on his pant leg and say, please heal me. The power that healed that leper, the power of Jesus Christ, is now available to every single one of us who calls on his name because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that we can know that we are not bothering Jesus when we need something. We can know that we are not pestering Jesus when we come to him again and again and again. The Holy Spirit receives every single one of our concerns. None of them is too small. None of them is too big. Every single one of us has the ability to reach out to Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is, even better than that, that Jesus gives that power of healing to us. Now, maybe you haven't healed a leper. Maybe you haven't given sight to the blind. But I guarantee that through the power of the Holy Spirit, there can be someone in your life who you have given healing power to, maybe with a phone call, maybe with a visit, maybe with a hand of concern, the ability to help someone in their time of need, and the ability to bring into a relationship peace that wasn't there. That Holy Spirit power is given to us, the church, to use in the world around us so that we are a part of the ministry that Jesus continues to do. That he was never too busy to take the time to help someone. I guarantee you, if you look through your life this week, you'll find an opportunity that Jesus is going to give you to give away what he's given to you. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.